Bring Christian greetings again this morning. It's a very thought-provoking song. Can we really say that from the heart? So I went very well with the devotional and the thoughts there on abiding in Christ. Is that our desire? This morning for a opening meditation, I read a story a few weeks ago, and that kind of brought me here, and also the coming through this Thanksgiving season, if you want to put it that way. You know, it's because of what God has done for us that we can be a thankful people. We have a lot to be thankful for. We're such a blessed people. But with these blessings come responsibility. And thinking of the Thanksgiving season, you know, it was a little alarming to me, I guess, thinking this year, kind of a trend change to, seems like Thanksgiving season ends Thanksgiving Day. And then we start in the next season. I'm talking about, trust as believers, the Thanksgiving season goes all year. But I'm talking about if we think of the seasons, the next season starts early the next day before, and this year it started Thanksgiving Day. And that's, I think, very sad, really. I think it shows where people's hearts are. You know, sales started on Thanksgiving Day instead of the day after, and so many had to work a lot harder over the holiday, over Thanksgiving Day, than normal, instead of giving them a break and time to spend with their families. And how backwards. I read one place in the news, a man said, only in America do people trample over each other exactly one day after being thankful for what they already have. And hope that was none of us. But this morning I'd like to look at, think a little more what God can do with people that are unselfish and want to give Him, want to give what they have to Him. And I believe that can only really happen when we have thankful hearts. I think in the in abiding in Christ, and Nola might have mentioned this, but it's also, along with that goes sacrifice, sacrificial giving. And that's part of what goes along there. I'd like to think this morning of some young people that made that sacrifice, that were sacrificial. First one I'd like to look at is in 2 Kings 5. It's a very familiar passage there. We're not really going to look at the whole thing, but I'd like to read the first four verses there. The account of the little maid that had a heart for Naaman. 2 Kings 5, verse 1. It says, now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And one went in and told his lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel. Here we have an account of a maid that was taken captive. She lost her family, but despite all that, she still trusted in God, in her God. She was willing to share that with her master. You know, even though there's no record that of a leper being healed in Elisha's day, she must have known about some of the miracles associated with Elisha. Instead of sitting there feeling sorry for herself, she was reaching out. She was pointing others to the one that could help them. And I believe ultimately she was blessed and she received the benefit. She wasn't trying to promote herself. I believe she sincerely desired to see her master healed, a sacrificial love. And in verse 15 of that same chapter, we see the effect it had on her master. This is after Naaman was healed. It says, and he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him, and he said, behold, now I know that there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now, therefore, I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. He said he had changed his whole perspective in life, his whole view of life. He said, I know there's no God but the God of the Israelites. He's the only one. He was a changed man. We have a lot of children in Sunday school, and this morning it was a blessing to me again to see them all standing up front here and saying their verses. And I don't know how many there are, but you know, going to Sunday school is a privilege you children have. It's a blessing. And I believe you do appreciate that, because I think when we don't have Sunday school, you miss that. But this story I read recently, it happened over 100 years ago. And it's a story about a little girl that wanted to go to Sunday school, but she was turned out because there wasn't room. And this story happened in Philadelphia. And when she was turned out, she was standing on the sidewalk sobbing when her pastor walked by, when the pastor of the church there walked by. And this little girl was from a very poor home. She wasn't dressed as neatly as the other children. And the pastor heard her sobbing there and asked her what was the matter. And she said, "I can't. There's no room for me in Sunday school." Well, when he saw her appearance, he kind of guessed it might be more than just room. So he took her by the hand and he led her in. He found a place for her. And she was so happy that she could go to Sunday school. But she went to bed that night thinking of all the children in the world that had no place to go to Sunday school. And about 2 years later, this little girl died in the poor tenant house that they lived in. And their parents called this kind pastor, this one that had taken an interest in their daughter, and called him in to make the final funeral arrangements. And as the poor little body was being moved, a little worn, crumpled red purse was found laying there beside her. It looked like one that had been salvaged from some dump. And inside this purse, they found 57 cents and a note written in her handwriting that said, "This is to help build the church bigger so that there's room for more children to go to Sunday school." For 2 years, she had been saving money to help build a bigger church. And when the pastor read that note, he instantly knew what he would do. He at the funeral there, he carried the note and the little red pocketbook up to the pulpit with him. And he told his people, he challenged them that we need to do something to make more room to fulfill the dream that this little girl had for a larger building, so that no one would be turned down because of room. The story didn't end there. That story got in the newspaper. And it was read by a wealthy realtor who offered them a valuable piece of property. But the church said, we can't afford that. We don't have money to buy it. But he agreed to sell it to them for 57 cents. And within 5 years, that little girl's gift had increased to $250,000. Which was a huge sum for back then. Her unselfish love had grown beyond her, I'm sure, her wildest expectations. They say that today there's a large church there. There's also the Good Samaritan Hospital. But no child in that area will ever need to be left outside during Sunday school. In one of the rooms of this building, they have the picture of that little girl who's 57 cents, so sacrificially given, made such remarkable history. The thing that stood out to me there is, you know, it's today that 57 cents might be equivalent to $500, I don't know. But God doesn't need, regardless of who we are, whether the amount is small that we can give, whether we have access to the billions that Bill Gates has, it doesn't matter. He wants what we have. And he can do with that. His work can go forward. You know, we can't... Sometimes maybe we think that we can do so little. And you children give money to Sunday school or to this past summer Bible school. I forget where that money went exactly. Maybe it was to Africa or somewhere. But you know, God can use that little bit to go way further than we can imagine. It's that unselfish giving. I'd like to look at another story in the New Testament, a very familiar story, John chapter 6, if you want to turn there. Story of a young lad that was willing to give what he had. Go read the first 14 verses. And after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and he saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. But one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples. And the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. You know, humanly speaking, feeding this multitude was impossible. The 5,000 men, could have been 10,000 people, I'm not sure, with the women and children, maybe more. You know, sometimes at a fellowship meeting or a funeral where there's 400 or 500 people, it seems like a lot. But this is just, if it's 5,000, it would be 10 times that many. If it's 10,000, it would be 20 times that many. It took a lot of food. Where could they come up with that much? And if they have the money, where would they find that much this time of the day? Impossible. Did Jesus need this boy's 3 little barley loaves and his 2 small fishes to feed this multitude? We know the answer is no. He could have spoken the word, and this food would have been there. But I believe what Jesus wanted was his unwillingness, his willingness to give, his unselfish giving. Excuse me. You know, he could take that to make so much. Isn't that what he wants from his children today? He's not asking for what we don't have, but he wants us to share what we have. We see how many people were blessed by his sacrifice. You know, he could have said, My mother packed this for me, and I don't have enough to share. But, you know, I really wonder if this young man was even able to eat. Or did he just sit there awestruck? Imagine his excitement when he got home and told his mother what happened with the lunch that she had prepared for him. God is not limited. You know, we never know what difference our willingness to share what we have may make in someone else's life. You know, little as much when God is in it. Let's kneel for prayer.